Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So let's reset the stage here for people who, no pun intended, who are unfamiliar with great moments in vinyl.
We're just music geeks. You know, we're people that just love music, and what better than to actually play some of your favorite songs? I mean, I'm not on the turntable, but you get out an instrument, put together a band, and go up on stage and play for other music fans. So that's what we're all about. We usually pick a specific album and research it. I've got stories to tell about the songs, and we do a very respectful job with the music we love.
Stories about the songs. I find that very intriguing, quite
frankly. Yeah, you know, it's not the usual thing you hear at a concert, but I realized after doing a few shows with friends years ago, it's like you got to give the audience something to do while you're retuning the guitars or taking a drink out of your beer or whatever. It's like you've got to keep their attention, and otherwise they're going to start conversing, and let's talk to friends and go to the John or whatever, and I just thought it would be a great idea to tell some stories. And people respond well to it, you know, because we take them a little further in the music, find out what Robert Plant was thinking when he did that song, or what Joni Mitchell was thinking, or Tom Petty, or Billy Joel.
Right, exactly. And I think people enjoy hearing that extra ingredient. And you've got quite the collection of musicians. I was looking at this video of the Crosby, Stills, and Nash tribute.
Yes.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I believe, 6 musicians and then a sound guy.
Oh, my gosh. I have to send you the Van Morrison video. You can see 12 people on stage in that one.
Wow. That
is
awesome.
With a full vibraphone in front, too.
Yeah, but John Bosa played that one. He played flute and saxophone on that one.
So where are you going to be next?
Well, this coming weekend, we were asked to play the Edgewater Arts Festival. We've done that the last couple of years, but the downside of playing there the last couple of years was it was the end of September. And usually by the time we hit the stage, the sun had already gone below the horizon, and it was getting cold, and the rain was coming down.
Oh my.
This year they moved it up a month. So now it's this coming Saturday and Sunday we'll be there, doing a Tom Petty tribute on Saturday and a Billy Joel tribute to his album, The Stranger, on Sunday.
And the entire Billy Joel album.
Yes, we do the whole thing. You know, occasionally there's an album that might have some extraneous sounds in it and sound effects and things. A lot of times, if we're in a club, we'll try to drop that in on stage, you know, just to be so authentic. But for a situation like this, we want to keep things moving along. So, yeah, we're doing the entire album, The Stranger, and it's been great because you get back in touch with the songs you forgot were on the album, the ones that aren't hits that are still solid
Billy
Joel tunes.
Oh, yeah, there's so many more cuts on iconic albums that were not quote unquote hits that are great songs. What do you
think? Well, it goes back to the days when you and I would listen to record albums. We wouldn't get up and move the needle. So we got to know those other songs. You know, they might not have been hits, but we got used to hearing them and fell in love with them.
Well, I know that you know that back in originally in the early ages of rock and roll, like the 60s, most albums were almost secondary. That, you know, the group would have a hit, maybe two hits. They'd put them on an album, and then everything else was just sort of filler. There wasn't anything really creative or new. And then that started to change with the Beatles, I think, would be the first, and the Beach Boys. They started progressing in a whole different direction, and what came on the next album didn't sound particularly at all like what came on the previous album. And the audience bought it. I mean, I'm sure there were record companies who said, no, no, no. But they prevailed because they were so popular. They had, you know, leverage, and people loved Rubber Soul and Revolver and Sgt. Pepper and Pet Sounds and all of that.
Well, I think back in the 60s, we were all growing up together, the musicians and the fans. We were all getting older, getting more mature. Our tastes were developing. We wanted more out of our entertainment rather than just a song for teeny bopper girls to scream at.
Well, there's nothing wrong with songs for teeny bopper girls to scream at. I mean,
I'm not trying to put them down. I'll tell you, if you have an audience there of opera girls, I'm not trying to say anything bad
about
it.
You know, you should do a a bubblegum teeny bopper concert with
Here's my bottom line. We'll do any artist. If I can get a crowd, if I get an audience so I can pay my band well, I will do that show. If I can get, you know, a Leif Garrett tribute, well, I'll do it, man.
That would be a riot. I mean, you know, here's a Bobby Sherman.
It is,
And, you know, those bubblegum bands, the 19 Gen Fruit Gum Company and the Ohio Express, and they were all one person. They were all one person.
Yeah, Tony Burrows.
Yeah, and Ron. Yeah, and Ron Dante. Yeah.
Yes, those two guys. They would sing, they sang on like four or five different songs.
They just gave themselves a different name on each in each record, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I can just hear it now. What in all of the how many years have you been doing this now?
8 years.
In the 8 years that you've done this, what has been the most challenging piece of music that you've tried to do? Or not tried to do, but did.
Yeah, most challenging. Well, my hat goes off to, I'm glad I have John Bowes on this conversation, because we took on the Joni Mitchell album, Court and Spark, and one of the songs there is really like a piece of chamber music. One of the songs in the album is called Down to You, and it's basically a piano with Joni's voice, and then a little chamber ensemble with it. So we John brought out his flute, and we had a clarinet player and a French horn player, and then the rest of the band, and just to fill that out, to try to recreate what the album sounded like in that setting with a limited amount of musicians. You know, like I said, we try to do respectful versions of the songs.
Of course.
We don't try to kill ourselves over them. But part of the magic is hearing that song the way that it touched you when you were listening to the record.
Yeah.
And John rehearsed the horn section that he put together, and it was just a magical moment that night. You could hear a pin drop.
Who?
We were in a bar, and you could hear a pin drop during
that session. Who took the Joni Mitchell part?
A woman by the name of Kara Cavanaugh that I've worked with before. She sang some Janis Joplin with us once upon a time. But she was willing to take the whole thing on. Plus, I've got to mention the guitarist, Andrea Bunch, who also sang a couple of songs, but she was notable because she did all the Joni Mitchell tunings. If you're a guitar geek at all, you'll know that the Joni would just take your standard guitar and retune it to create different chords and different chord patterns. And so she hired a guitar tuner who would take one guitar and tune it while she was doing one song, then bring that back and then retune the other guitar. And that went on all night. But yeah, it was a great night.
And that orchestral part in that song was actually especially challenging because I think we showed up at rehearsal 3 days before the show, and I walked in and asked the keyboard player, "So, what are you playing on this for the strings in that?" And they said, "I'm not playing anything there." And so,
yeah,
I think you will be.
No, they didn't. I just went home and just started transcribing. You said,
"No
kidding.
How can
we make this work? We got a flute, we got a clarinet, we got a trumpet player that also plays French horn." We did have an amazingly versatile horn section that night, and made it work. Just did a real heavy reduction. You know, it's like, well, these string lines here can go on the flute, and this string line can go on the clarinet. And I've got a soprano sax that can cover this oboe part here. The French horn plays the French horn parts, and we just assigned little pieces to everybody, and we were switching musical hats back and forth for that whole segment.
That's great. We're talking to Great Moments in Vinyl, and they will be appearing Saturday and Sunday at the Edgewater Arts Festival, and we'll do more with them when we come back on 720 WGN.
I believe in yesterday.
I gotta say, pretty awesome. That's
you. Don't you think that? We did
That's
it with a string quartet.
Listen. That is fantastic. Now, let me, it's on your, by the way, you can get all this stuff on their website.
GreatMomentsInVinyl.com.
Thank you very much. I was looking at the credits on this Beatles with strings performance.
Yes.
And Lindsey Cochran on bass, storytelling, and kitchen timer. What does that mean?
I am the walrus. about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. No, I didn't time it. But into that song, there's a place where the everything breaks down. You hear an alarm bell ring.
Right.
And I figured my kitchen timer, if I twist it over to 40 minutes and then set it off, it will ring just the right amount of time. So
that was at the City Winery, too. That's a great venue.
We sold out that one. It was a Sunday brunch, and we sold the place out. We were
They're great. That's a great place. So,
it is.
John, you're the sax player?
Yes. Yeah, saxophone, flute, background vocals, sometimes lead vocals. So just try to. I'm a utility player.
And what is your background? Are you from Chicago? Did you grow up here? Or?
I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. So not terribly far away.
So let me ask you something.
Sure. It's not about Jamie Farr, is it?
No.
Okay.
What years were you in Toledo?
1956 through 78.
Oh, awesome. Okay, here we go. Catch this. Did you ever go to Rose LaRose's Town Hall Burlesque and drink 3.2? What was it? Some kind of beer.
3.2 beer. 3.2 beer.
3.2 beer.
I haven't been to that burlesque, but I was. I went to the Westward Theater a few times. And
now listen.
3.2 beer. Yeah, 3.2 beer.
I lived up in Ann Arbor. I was in Ann Arbor, and you couldn't get 3.2 beer in Ann Arbor, and there weren't any strip joints in Ann Arbor either. So in high school, we'd take our girlfriends, and we'd drive from Ann Arbor down to Toledo. I think we must have done this 3 or 4 times, and gone to Rose LaRose's Town Hall Burlesque. And, you know, considering the way things are now, that was totally tame. You know what I mean? And drink 3.2 beer and pretend we were drunk. Because you really can't get drunk on 3.2 beer.
It's really rough, man.
It's really
drink
rough.
A lot of 3.2 beer.
It's got to be. Awesome. So,
oh my goodness.
You're in Toledo, and then where do you go?
Then I was briefly on the road with a band for a while, and then I went to University of Toledo for music for about a year, and out on the road, and then out to Berklee College of Music in Boston for about a year and a half.
That's heavy
duty.
And
then out on the road again, and just bounced around everywhere. I was out in California for a while, Tucson, Arizona, and ended up here because it was midway between my ex's family and my family. She was family out in the Quad Cities, and I had my folks in Toledo.
Excellent reason. Excellent. That Berklee school is pretty heavy duty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great place. It was a really stimulating environment. You meet a lot of cats. I was sort of in the middle. There was like some real heavyweights that were on the other end of the spectrum, and I was kind of in the middle of the ability segment there, but there's so much going on. I mean, it'd be a jam session every night. You'd be talking with people about, and there's so many people there that you'd get exposed to a lot of different music just because, the guy down the hall is into this, but the guy next door to you likes this artist. And then, it was great as far as not only learning a ton about arranging and playing and things like that, but just being exposed to music I never knew was out there.
Yeah. I think that's one of the great things about hanging out with like-minded creative people, regardless of whether it's music or radio or film or whatever. It's there's a lot of energy being expended by everybody. I mean, in a good way. And, everybody shares it and comes out for the better. Lindsay, did you ever go to Rose LaRose's Town Hall Burlesque in Toledo?
No, I came up here to college back in, 75, something like that, and just been here ever since.
Where'd you go to college?
I was at Northwestern. Is it 75, 79? I've lost track when it was.
Yeah,
many years ago, and then got a job in radio right out of college.
Oh, we had this conversation once, I think. didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I just stayed here ever since.
Yeah. Where there used to be, that was around Loyola, something called Baby Huey's. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I heard the name, but I can't place it.
There was this, you know where Sheridan Road takes a turn towards the lake? And I think there's
Loyola campuses?
Yeah, and then there's an L right there. There used to be this club called Baby Huey's that had this gigantic chicken out front. that was baby Huey. And
further up the block, there was Biddy Mulligan's.
Yes.
Close to Evanston.
Right. And bands would play there. I mean, rock bands. That was one of those places where, like Tuts, where you didn't really want to. You really didn't want to go to the bathroom unless you had to, because it was a river in there. It was.
You don't want the lights to come up too bright in those places.
No, absolutely not. So. How many musicians are you taking with you this weekend?
I've got two different bands this weekend. I got one set of people that's doing the Tom Petty show with me, including Evan Walker, a gentleman I've never worked with before, but I needed a vocalist to sing the Tom Petty stuff. So
yeah.
He stepped in, along with Jarrett Donahue, who plays guitar. Jarrett was my Alex Lifeson when we did our Rush tribute, and my Jimmy Page when we did a Led Zeppelin tribute.
Wow.
I got Debbie Kaczynski on keyboards, Jonathan Reed on drums. And someone else is going to hate me because I'm forgetting their name right at the moment. But that's the Tom Petty band. Then for Billy Joel, I've got a guy by the name of Greg Woods singing and playing. On Facebook, on our Great Moments and Vinyl page on Facebook, you can hear Greg singing Billy Joel's Big Shot at our rehearsal the other night, along with Daniel Roche doing some other keyboards, John Bowes playing saxophone and some flute, Jonathan Reed on drums again, and myself on bass. And that's that band.
Well,
so whenever
you know,
I put a band together, it's like I try to find the right people for the group.
I think it's awesome what you guys do. It's a challenge. You pull it off. I can't wait to see you.
We got to get you to that Bruce Springsteen show at the end of September when we do Born to Run. I met John Bowes years ago at a Great Moments in Vinyl show. He'd come and he brought his sax. We were doing Bruce Springsteen's The River, and John said, "Can I sit in?" And I said, "John, I've already got a sax player for the night." But that was 6 years ago, and I found many ways to work with John since, but I haven't done a Springsteen show yet, so I owe this one to him.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us, guys, and break a leg this weekend, Saturday the 28th, 5:30 to August 28th, 5:30 to 7 at the Edgewater Arts Festival, and Sunday the 29th, 5:30 to 7 at the Edgewater Arts Festival, the Saturday show, Tom Petty, and the Sunday show, Billy Joel.